going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you on another edition of Phillies Today. Certainly, I would say our first panic meter edition of Phillies Today this season as the Phils get swept by the New York Mets. They have now lost four straight, and things aren't looking great. You can't, there's no other way to really spin it by other than the fact that the lineup is struggling right now. There's no doubt that there are struggles up and down when you go 1-9 for the Phillies hitters right now. Starting pitching, been okay, and I think it's something that is probably still the strong point of this team, and you can feel confident about going forward, but the bullpen has been much maligned so far, and when you lose a guy like Jeff Hoffman, when you lose Carlos Estevez, who, again, wasn't my favorite guy in the world, but certainly a big league caliber arm and has gotten off to a decent start with the Royals here, they were going to have to make some, you know, additions and replace those guys with players who were capable of, you know, keeping up what was a really good bullpen for the past couple of years. And it has looked anything but that so far. We'll get into all of it. We'll get into Jordan Romano's struggles. We'll get into, you know, essentially everyone aside from Alvarado and Matt Strom struggling out of the Phillies bullpen right now, which is a major reason why they are now within one game of being 500 after getting off to, you know, a pretty solid start. And they lose that game against the Marlins on Sunday, and you go into the Mets series thinking, you know, you want to avoid disaster here, really, and you'd love to take 2 or 3. But even if you lose the series, you certainly don't want to get swept. But that was what ended up happening, is the Phillies lose a day game on Wednesday, lose Tuesday night and Monday night, were, you know, really never in the game at all there. So not great right now between all of these different factors. And, you know, with Ranger coming back, obviously the rotation, I feel confident about that. And then you can slide someone to the bullpen and sort of figure it out from there, whether it's Ranger, whether it's Taiwan, or however you want to sort of spin it. But I do have some serious concerns as of this moment about this team potentially, you know, being one of the powers in the National League and getting back to the postseason, frankly, because we've seen how good the NL West is so far between, obviously, the Dodgers, the Padres being, you know, one of the best teams in baseball so far, the Giants getting off to a really good start, and you have three teams, and the Diamondbacks, too, who have the roster to certainly compete for a playoff spot as well, and I like them coming into the season. So you've got four really good teams out there, which means that your wild card spots might not, you know, beat 87-win teams this year. You might have to win 90-plus games in order to get a playoff spot this year, and well, I still think the Phillies can do that, and if I had to bet money on it right now, I do think the Phillies are going to be in the postseason this year. There are certainly some concerns that you know, might not get addressed until the trade deadline. Until, you know, that occurs, they're going to have to find a way to tread water here and keep themselves afloat. And I know this Mets team is probably better than a lot of people gave them credit for, and myself included in that. I think part of the discussion between the Phillies and the Mets right now, other than the postseason last year and maybe just the Phillies not performing well at Citi Field, it feels like over the past couple of seasons, I think that there is a significant gap at this point, you could say, between Dave Dombrowski and David Stearns of the Mets. When, you know, they get David Stearns from the Brewers, who had run a small market team and found a way to get them into the postseason year after year, you know, sort of piece together pitching staffs that, you know, might not look the best on paper, but they end up performing really well and they end up winning the NL Central essentially every year. And, you know, having, you know, a 26-man roster that can certainly compete for a World Series. And then he moves to a big market team in the Mets in New York and now has this budget to be able to go get a Juan Soto or go re-sign Pete Alonso, but also with the pitching staff specifically, bring in guys who you know are undervalued around the league and you can sort of tweak and make certain adjustments with and be able to, you know, improve their performance on the field as well. I mean, Griffin Canning, a perfect example of that. He's looked really good for the Mets so far. And obviously, you know, you think nothing when they sign him, but he was one of the worst pitchers in baseball last season. And they make some mechanical adjustments and do some different things, you know, with his pitching. And now he's, you know, looking like a quality major league starter. And they're doing it with a bunch of guys. They did it with Sean Manaea last year. Like Sean Manaea, after, if you remember, in the 2022 National League Championship Series, he talked about last year how he didn't know if he was going to pitch in Major League Baseball again. And the Mets sign him, they bring him in, they, you know, reform him and turn him into, you know, a quality major league starter. So I think that's something where I hope the Phillies aren't getting caught behind, because David Stearns, you know, very young, very new way of thinking, and he clearly uses analytics to his advantage. Obviously has a major payroll to be able to, you know, fill the lineup with between Lindor, Alonso, Soto, obviously, and, you know, a bunch of those, Nimmo, a bunch of those other guys. But if you're able to sort of have the payroll and the brain trust to combine those things, it's a really dangerous thing that they kind of have brewing up there in Queens. So was not great to see. I don't think the Phillies are necessarily a worse team than the Mets, but you know, they've showed it the last two times they've played. It essentially felt like an extension of the National League Division Series last year, and they, you know, took it to the Phillies. The Phillies looked like a lifeless team. They looked like a bunch of, you know, players that essentially sort of laid down in that series, and that bothered me for sure. So let's get into all of it. I want to get into the bullpen stuff first, because that is sort of the big bugaboo, I would say, with this club right now. And it just seems like they have two reliable arms. Like I said, Alvarado, Stroman. Last year, it felt like you had 4 to 5 guys that you could rely on in certain spots. And obviously, when you lose two relievers, everyone kind of gets pegged up a notch, where Kirkering's getting put in big spots, and you know, Jose Ruiz is getting put into, you know, more high leverage situations here, and it sort of is a domino effect. But at the same time, it's like the Kirkering thing is a big problem right now, because he was somebody who I guess they were relying on to be that third reliable guy out of the bullpen, and he this year has just been inconsistent, I guess is the word, just because it's been all about sort of developing that fastball. And if he's able to develop that fastball and locate it, then you pair that with the slider and it's a pretty disgusting two-pitch mix. But right now, nothing's in the strike zone. That's the problem. Like, guys are just laying off, and essentially he has to, you know, throw a get-me-over slider or get-me-over fastball, and hitters are just all over it. So he's walking guys, you know, there are other when he's pitching those get me over pitches, a lot of hard contact. It's just been a struggle for him for sure. And I know he's only 24, and I still think Orion Kirkring is going to be, you know, a very reliable relief pitcher for this team for the time being. I wonder if, until he gets that third pitch, how effective he can be. Because if he doesn't have his fastball, it's just, you know, slider, sweeper, whatever you want to call it, like slider, 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 slider. And eventually, guys are going to lay off that, and they're going to make you throw a fastball. And if you can't locate it, then it's going to be really difficult to be effective. So I think that he's struggling right now. I think he'll get better, but he's just going through it. But aside from him, like, I just don't see how you would have gone into the year thinking that, and I'll get to Romano in a second, or Romano, whatever. I don't know how you thought that, you know, the Joe Rosses of the world, the Carlos Hernandez of the world, the Tanner Banks of the world, we're going to be, you know, quality depth in that bullpen like you had last year. And it just felt like they sort of banked on, I would say, Orion Kirkery taking another leap forward and some of these other guys, Jose Ruiz being another guy that takes a leap forward. And I'm just not seeing it. So they're going to have to do something about it. They're going to have to, I think, bring guys up from AAA probably in order to at least try something new. Like right now, they're 29th out of 30th, I believe, in bullpen ERA in all of baseball. So clearly it can't get much worse. And you've got, I believe by numbers, one of the better bullpens in AAA right now. So, and they have so many starters within the system. Like, why not bring a Seth Johnson up to try him out in the bullpen and see if his stuff plays? Nabil Chrismat was solid in spring training, I thought. Devin Sweet, another guy in spring training who I thought was pretty decent. And even a couple of the young guys. I'm not saying Painter right now because I want Painter to come up and be a starter. I'm not saying that they should rush him up for any reason. But even the Mick Abels or the Griff McGarrys of the world, like, try it as a try them as a reliever. Like, what do you have to lose? So that's kind of where I'm at with the whole pen in general. With Romano right now, it's tough because I actually do think he looks mechanically and velocity-wise a little bit better than he did early in the year. He's just getting hit around really hard. I just don't know if the stuff is there. Like, he's throwing 97 and locating it pretty decent. And he got ahead in some counts in that Mets game that they lost in extra innings on Wednesday. And he's just getting hit hard. And it seems like he has no confidence up there. And you can just tell on his post-game press conferences, like, he just seems like a guy who's defeated. And until he gains that confidence back, I don't care what stuff you have, it's very difficult to be effective. Like, you see it with Edwin Diaz. When Bryson Stott hits the home run off him when it's 5-0 and then it becomes 5-4, you could see his confidence sort of go out the window. And, you know, if it weren't for, you know, Bryce, just one of the worst at-bats I've actually ever seen him take against them and swinging at three straight pitches out of the zone, like, I think he probably gives that game up. And so confidence is everything with a relief pitcher, and I just think he needs a boost of it. And right now, it just feels like he, as well as the rest of the guys, like, they know they're bad. And until they sort of have a little success and are able to close out some big games for them and can build off something, I don't know how much better it's going to get with the current group that you have. So aside from Strom and Alvarado, you really have to do something. And calling up some of these guys from AAA, I would believe, would at least, you know, maybe light a fuse under a couple of them and be like, I don't want this guy taking my job. I want to pitch and be successful out here. So that's where I'm at with the bullpen. It's where I'm at with Romano. It's not great, and it doesn't help either that Jeff Hoffman has continued to look phenomenal in his early season or, you know, early career tenure in Toronto there. So, yeah, not great.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
But I want to get to the lineup here because the lineup, frankly, has been, you know, equally as bad or just as bad and just as big of a problem for this team so far. And it does feel like, I don't think Rob Thompson right now is on any sort of hot seat, but I do think that there is going to be end up being a sacrificial lamb in all this. And it really does kind of add up and lead up to be Kevin Long being that guy. And he's been here for a little while now. The approach really, it's funny. I don't want to hear anybody call this team like home run or bust anymore, because based off of what we've seen this year, there are a bunch of slap hitters aside from Harper and Schwarber. I mean, you've got Trey Turner that has 5 total extra base hits on the season and 1 home run. Like, they clearly did not get the Trey Turner that they signed for $300 million. And, you know, it's okay. It happens. Like, but at the same time, you just give me some extra base hits, man. Like, you're so fast and you have so much speed. Like, he's not even able to use it because it's all slap singles. And Alec Bohm is on a 10-game hit streak. And, you know, good for him. He's getting himself out of a slump. And I can appreciate that he's hitting the ball a little better right now. But, like, he's on a 10-game hit streak. He's got, what, 2, maybe 1 double throughout that whole 10-game hit streak. So it just doesn't feel like there's a lot of slug in this lineup right now. And between those two guys, I would say, you know, Castellanos, who's cooled off a little bit but is still off to a pretty good start. We'll have to say, though, Bryson Stott doing better in the leadoff spot than I may have anticipated. He's been hitting the ball pretty good lately, and I think he's been kind of what they're looking for at the top of the lineup, just in terms of seeing a lot of pitches and found a lot of balls off. So good for Bryson Stott. He's done pretty well. But just the rest of this lineup, there's no pop. They need a little pop there. And I never thought I'd be asking this about this specific Phillies team, but like, can you hit a home run once in a while? I mean, sometimes you need the long ball to be able to keep you in games, and it just feels like if they're not hitting homers, like, the offense just really is stagnant and it's not there. So not great from the lineup, and it just leads you to believe that I don't want to say that this core is sort of reaching its, you know, breaking point here, reaching its, you know, not its peak, but on its way down from the peak. I just wonder if a lot of these veteran hitters are sort of, you know, out of their primes. And it's a kind of scary thought to think about this era of Phillies baseball going out with a whimper, because they get to the World Series in 22. There's so much excitement around it. 23, which ends up feeling probably like that was the year to do it. They go up 2-0 against Diamondbacks, 3-2. We know all that. And that felt like it was probably their best chance. Considering they would have played the Texas Rangers team in the World Series too, that I think they were much better than. And then last year, to win 95 games and to get bounced in the first round, like, it would just be a very unceremonious end to what is a really good era of Phillies baseball and a lot of good players. But between JT, between Castellanos, Schwarber, you know, even Bryce, like, these guys are getting older. And unfortunately, we may be sort of closer to the end here than we are, you know, the beginning, which is, you know, pretty obvious. But at the same time, it's a scary thought to think, for sure. So Brandon Marsh, wanted to mention, is starting in AAA tonight. So he could be on his way back soon. I think went to the IL 0 for his last 31. So I'm not sure. I'll be banking on him to sort of reinforce this group. But I hope he can come back with a clear mind and, you know, a fresh start, sort of, and be able to, you know, help contribute to this team. Because I also will say, Johan Rojas definitely has exceeded some expectations so far, and is hitting over 300 and had an RBI yesterday, and definitely is, you know, a bit improved at the plate. But it just feels like the timely hitting between all these guys is not there. Like, between the runners in scoring position that get left on, and when there's a runner on third and less than 2 outs, feels like they're never able to get those guys in. It's just massively frustrating. And you saw it kind of reach its apex yesterday in the 10th inning when the Phillies get a run on the board. They make it 3-2. And bases loaded, 1 out. Believe Stott was up. He didn't do anything. And then I think there was a pinch hitter after. And you only get the 1 run out of it, and you end up losing that game. So it's frustrating. I feel like that's something that's going to turn, and it might just be because they're pressing a little bit because they understand they're struggling as an offense, and it does feel like sort of a recurring theme over the last few years when this offense has struggled, is that they've, you know, sort of pressed and put almost too much pressure on themselves rather than just relaxing, focusing on their mechanics, and just putting bat to ball. But man, it is just like it has to turn eventually. It really does, because it was very frustrating in this Mets series. And even before the Marlins series, it just felt like they weren't getting some of those timely hits. So that's where I'm at with the lineup. It's not great, but the one area I still do feel pretty decent about is the starting pitching. It seems like Chris Sanchez is going to be okay. I don't even think they're getting an MRI for him, so that's good, because after he comes out of the game with, what was it, forearm soreness or whatever, that's typically a flashing indicator that, like, elbow soreness, like Tommy John type of thing, which is just terrifying. And for how good Chris Sanchez has sort of progressed over the last couple of years, that would have been devastating for the guy. And just signed a contract, too, and essentially is the number two on this team right now behind Wheeler, and maybe number three with how Lizardo's going. But that would have been really bad if Chris Sanchez were to be out for a long period of time. But it looks like he's going to be okay. I think they're going to push back his next start because they have a couple of off days that they have in between the schedule here. So don't think he'll be going on the IL. And they, like I said, didn't even get an MRI. But wouldn't be shocked if his start was pushed back a little bit in terms of when he's pitching next. So just mentioned Lizardo. He's still been really good. I thought Sunday he pitched really well. And the bullpen, again, just kind of blew it for him there. Kirkering, that was really tough on the three-run home run to the guy I never even had heard of in my life. That was a brutal loss, and that sort of, you know, led into all the Mets losses there. But Nola, thought it was his best outing of the year. Gives up the couple homers. It's got to be demoralizing to give up like a couple of 450-foot bombs, even though he only gave up those two earned runs. And I just think that he's in a spot right now where stuff's just not there. Like the velocity, he's at 90-91, and I understand that he's not a velocity pitcher, but he was throwing 94, 95 even at one point in his career. Like, you go to 2018, 2019, and when the breaking stuff isn't playing like you want to, you can't sort of beat guys with that type of fastball, and he's getting smoked on it, and the metrics don't really support him either. I don't think he's losing his confidence, but it's got to be difficult to, you know, give up all these home runs and essentially go back and saying, you know, I'm giving my A stuff, I'm giving everything I have, and then to sort of not have the velocity, not have the spin that you used to have. I'm sure it's draining on him. So we'll see how Nola progresses, but I'm not really feeling super optimistic about getting the Aaron Nola that we've seen over the last couple of years. And hey, you've got five more years on that deal, so that's not a great sign moving forward either. And I really hope he can turn it around, because he's one of those guys that it just seems like everyone jumps on real quick, and Romano's also turning into one of those guys, but it just seems like the frustration level with Nola has sort of reached a climax here, and a lot of people are mad. So we'll see Nola on his next start at Wrigley this weekend, how he ends up throwing there. Wheeler, great, aside from the mistake to Beatty yesterday. I don't know why you're throwing a cutter in that spot when you can beat Beatty with your fastball every single time. He's frankly been one of the worst hitters in baseball to begin the year, but that was frustrating. But really good aside from that. He essentially dominated the Mets, and again, it was just one mistake, and that ended up kind of costing them. But he's been really good overall, and I expect him to continue to, you know, sort of build on that and be Zach Wheeler. So Ranger has looked good in AAA so far since he's been there. Had a 5-inning outing with no earned runs the other night, threw 50-some pitches. Looked pretty good from what I understand, and I would expect him probably back up here in early May. And again, I don't know exactly in what capacity it's going to be, and I don't know what's going to happen to the rotation. Somebody's going to move to the bullpen. It's probably going to be Taiwan Walker, or it could be that piggyback situation that I've talked about, where maybe you have Taiwan start the game and throw 3 innings, and then have Ranger behind him to sort of do the bulk of the game there. So I think that's an idea, and you could save your bullpen from throwing innings in that scenario. So wouldn't mind if the Phillies sort of experimented with that a little bit. I think it can help their bullpen issues somewhat until the trade deadline, because you really just have to find a way to get there and keep yourselves in the race. So that's kind of where I'm at on the pitching as a whole. But before we get out of here, want to preview this weekend at Wrigley. We've got a 3-game set in Chicago against one of the hottest teams in baseball. They just dominated the Dodgers in a series and look really good. Former future Philly, Kyle Tucker, hey, still could be a future Philly, is tearing it up in Chicago, and they look impressive right now. So it's not going to be an easy one out at Wrigley for sure. So Friday afternoon, 2:20 start, classic Wrigley. You've got Taiwan, the stopper. Come on, Taiwan. Yeah, you got to stop the bleeding here. You got him going up against Colin Rea. Typically doesn't go too long in games. Probably will be like a 3-4 inning guy, and then they'll go to their bullpen pretty early on. But, you know, they faced Milwaukee, I believe, a couple times, did all right against them. But we will see with the way the lineup is swinging it right now. On Saturday, you've got Lizardo versus former Phillies farmhand Ben Brown. Was traded in the David Robertson trade in 22, if I can. Yeah, that's definitely right. And he was like a super late round pick that sort of flew through the system and developed some really good stuff while he was here with the Phillies. And then they traded him at the 22 deadline to get David Robertson, get some bullpen help in here. So, yeah, Ben Brown will face his former organization Saturday at 4:05. And hopefully Lizardo can continue his dominance so far, because he's looked really good. He's been everything they've advertised, and you know he's in a contract year too, so he is looking to prove that he should stay with the ball club past this season, which, again, I really would appreciate the Dave Dombrowski getting on that and making sure that Jesus Lizardo is a Philly 4 years to come here. But then you've got Sunday Night Baseball, of course. Aaron Nola, Jameson Taillon, almost a Philly instead of Taijuan Walker. That was the year of free agency where the Phillies signed Taijuan Walker, and I remember they were in the Taillon discussion as well. But those two will go at it on Sunday Night Baseball, as hopefully the Phillies don't absolutely embarrass themselves on Sunday Night Baseball, which it feels like they always do. Like, it feels like whenever they're on Sunday Night Baseball, it does not go well for them. And, again, hopefully that is not the case this weekend. And if they take 2 out of 3, who knows? I could have a totally different mindset going into next week. But right now, I'm recording this on a Thursday night. I'm excited to watch the NFL draft tonight, and frankly, to not watch the Phillies, because they have just been massively, massively frustrating over these last week or so. So I think that they will turn it around. Like I said, I still think they'll be a playoff team, but I would be lying to you if I didn't say I had some legitimate concerns about the club moving forward. So that'll wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. We'll be back next week. And for Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstern. Have a good one, everyone. Say it.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skene strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.